Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Blasingame. The Small Business Advocate is 12 after the hour. Thank you for being part of our day. Paul Cherry is also part of our day. As of this very month, Paul is president and CEO of Performance-Based Results and International Sales and Leadership Training Organization. He's the author of Questions That Sell, and he's our good friend. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Well, thank you for allowing me to join you guys again.
Paul, one of the things that I've been thinking about lately is the way a small business owner, when they wake up, what they think about their business, one of the first things they think about is, boy, I sure would like to do this or that, or be able to buy this piece of equipment or add on to the building or hire a new employee or whatever. Sure would like to be able to do that, but I don't have the capital. So I can't do that, and they get frustrated. And that frustration sometimes leads to the way they manage their people, which might be negative, or the way that they talk to their customers, the way they react to their customers. So I have a proposal, and I want you to think about and respond to. What if instead of thinking about all the stuff we don't have, we started thinking about all the things that we want for our business and a different way about getting them? If I need more capital, why don't I turn to the things that cost me nothing to do? One of them is to make sure that my employees are motivated. Mm-hmm. Another thing would be to make sure that my customers are treated with complete respect and that we love them up. We make sure that they know that we want to help them, that kind of thing. All that costs nothing. But yet if we did those two things, love up our customers, love up our employees, for nothing, we could actually grow our business and get that capital we need. What do you think? Is that too much? Is that Pollyanna playing the glad game, or does it work?
Well, Jim, it would put me out of business, but you know you're absolutely right. Because clients spend thousands of dollars to have me come in and work with them, and it really boils down to having communication with others, with your customers, and with your employees. And being able to have the right dialogue to find out what you need. And you know what? It doesn't cost a dime to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know, there are a lot of barriers that it's getting in the way to reaching out and having those engagements, because that's the real opportunities to leverage.
What do those barriers look like?
Those barriers? It could be anything from the boss's ego, a little resistant that I don't need to reach out and get input from others because
is the boss's ego how often is the boss's ego a problem in the relative success of a company?
Well, I can say that it can be at least 50%, and there's pros and cons. The ego is what allows them to be successful and to build their business and have that drive and passion, but it also can be that barrier that can get in the way and create an environment of being stifling. They already know the answers once they start getting successful.
Blasingame's first law of aggregation states that you should try to be successful yourself by subordinating your own success long enough to aggregate the success of others.
Yes.
What do you think?
Absolutely. And I think that's where it's, you know, the analogy is like a snake being able to shed its skin and being able to let go. I think that's what I'd like to see more bosses do, willing to let go and build others and embrace their success, because that will catapult them to the next level of success in their business. And it's easier said than done.
That is absolutely correct. I was a small business owner all by myself for a number of years, and I didn't have anybody to delegate to. Then I started adding employees. I added one employee, then I added two, then three, then four, etc. And then I started hiring contractors who became de facto employees because they worked, you know, they started doing technology stuff for me, and they started doing things that 30 years ago you and I would have hired a team to do. But now we can contract for these people. my point is, I had to learn to delegate. It isn't easy to do that. But one of the ways I've tried to delegate that's really been very empowering, Paul, is to give somebody a project and tell them, you own this. This belongs to you. Let me know what I can do to help you with it.
Absolutely.
It's amazing how what that does to everybody, isn't it?
Yes. I love the word that you used, ownership. Because then you're appealing to another person's ego, and empowering them that there is an end destination and a result, an outcome that you're looking for. And ownership is everything. So I love that concept that you're talking about.
Well, and see, that's how you, in my opinion, that's how you empower and create, I should say create first and then empower, entrepreneurial employees.
Yes. Yes. And you, and doing so, it really frees the boss then to look at the bigger picture. And that's the biggest challenge for everyone with time management, because they get too caught up in the minutia. They're working on, you know, on the behaviors that's got them successful. But the behaviors of tomorrow are the things that they need to be working on.
Well, there's this other benefit, this byproduct of all the things we were just talking about, and that is the way these people we were just talking about, these employees, these staff, our staff, the way they start feeling about themselves causes them to treat our customers better.
Yes, yes, that's right. You're building confidence in others. The confidence, their motivation, the attitude, you're expanding their belief system, what I call your employees' comfort zones. They're willing to take more risks and be more proactive. I mean, it really does create a snowball effect.
I would rather someone say to me, instead of saying to me, Jim, congratulations on your business, I would rather someone would say to me, congratulations on this employee that you have, and, you know, and put, give them their name. I would rather hear them say that and say, that person really did a good job with me.
Interesting.
And see, if you can get that kind of an attitude, subordinate your ego long enough to do that, I think dollars will come and play in your backyard. What do you think?
I think so. You know, it reminds me of that good old book, I think it was published in 1936 by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking, what, 70 years ago, and all those principles are so relevant today, now more than ever.
Because it's all about humans.
Isn't it?
And the fundamental
basic concepts.
The fundamental thing that people want, which is to be appreciated and loved and to do well, that hasn't changed ever.
That's right.
Stand by. Paul Cherry is our guest. The book is called Questions That Sell, and we're talking about your small business. 20 after. Stay with us.
What do you do when you found it? Nobody's waiting.
Doorville, touch a country in the city.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. Paul Cherry is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Paul is the author of Questions That Sell. Paul, give us your website and tell us where your book's available.
The website is PB Results. P for performance, B for based, results.com.
And what do we find when we
can get find the book, Questions That Sell, Amazon.com or all the major bookstores.
Can we get it on your website?
Yes, you can.
Can we actually buy it from you directly?
Actually, it's just easy. The link is, it'll
Links
take you directly
Amazon.
To Amazon.com.
I was trying to get an autographed copy out of you, Paul.
Well, that would be an opportunity. I certainly would entertain that.
Okay,
thanks,
Paul.
For asking.
Our goal today is to try to get the capital we need. Now, the capital we need, the best capital, there are three ways small business owners get capital. One is through direct investment, either our money or someone else's money. The other is through bank, borrowing money from a bank.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, which is the largest source of capital for most small businesses. And the third one is profits left in the business, retained earnings.
Mm.
They're the best. Now, the problem is sometimes profits don't build up quick enough to grow the business. If we're if our net profit is 3% and we want to grow at 8%, then you know we got a 5% deficiency there. So how do we grow that bottom line? I think you grow the bottom line by being having better people, better prepared, more motivated, and that, that translates to more loyal and happy customers. And that's what we were talking about a while ago. So what do we do? How do we get it? Now that we've got our people motivated, we got it. We got happy people. We got happy employees. They can't wait to come to work. They don't want to leave. They're just so excited about working for you and me. How do we get them to say the right things to customers so that we can get our customers to be that happy? What do we do about that?
Yeah. Jim, when you talk about creating ownership, it also it's asking the questions to create that buy-in and commitment from your employees as well as customers. And I have three questions that every manager should be, business owner should be asking their people. And that is, number one, what are we doing right? And we want to ask what are we doing right because we want to capitalize on our successes and build on those successes.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is, what could we be doing differently or more of? Or less of? What can we be doing more of, differently, or less of? And getting feedback and direction from your people, because they're on the front line and they have many of the answers.
So we're asking our employees to tell us this information.
Yes.
What are we doing right?
Irrelevant.
What are we doing right, and what can we do more of, and what was the other?
And what can we do less of?
Okay.
That's really, you know, the second element, the second question. And then the third part is the last. And these really are give-and-take questions. What are some of the actions? What are some of the actions that we need to take? And I say actions because these are the steps, the benchmarks, to start propelling, to move forward beyond just the lip service, the give-and-take discussions, but getting commitments at the end of that discussion to propel us forward.
As a manager asking those questions, as the business owner asking those questions, we must go into that meeting, and we must ask those questions with the complete belief that the people who are going to answer these questions know every bit as much about what's right for this company, how we should be operating, if not even in some cases more than the person asking the question. We have to believe that. Otherwise we're basically just wasting our time, aren't we?
Well, you're right, because they're interacting probably more than the owner is on a regular basis with your customers. So they're the eyes and ears, and they become the vehicle of communication back to the business owner. And they really are your internal consultants to bounce off ideas and to give you advice and clarify your thinking. You know, many of the best ideas come out when we actually verbalize our thoughts, crystallize our thinking, and really validate where we are today, where we need to go tomorrow.
All right, how do we take that information and convert it into something we can take to the marketplace, to customers?
Jim, how do you mean?
Well, in other words, let's say we discover what's good about us, what we're doing right. How do we then convert that and say, okay, you know, what do our customers know this?
Yeah.
We know that we do a better job than anybody else of in delivery or in product generation or whatever, but do our customers know that?
You know, and that is correct, and I think that's the next step. Is you could almost take those same set of questions and really apply it to your customers.
Yeah.
Because it really, you want to capitalize on the success with your customer relationships, but a lot of times we're leaving money and opportunities on the table, business that's being given away to other competitive players that we should be garnering. And you know, we're talking about the concepts of cross-selling and upselling opportunities with our existing customers. So ask that same set of questions, that give-and-take relationship, on how you can grow it to the next level.
Well,
you know, in other words, you know, we really appreciate the business that you've been giving us to date. If we reflect back on 2006, what have we been doing right in this relationship to help you be successful? You see what I mean by that first element? And getting that feedback as to all that was well. And then the following is then say, you know, as we look at 2007 and to help you achieve your goals, what do we need to be doing differently or more of to ensure your success?
What can we do to help you? It might even be as simple as that. Hey, Paul, give us that website again, please. Give us your website again, Paul.
Oh, pbresults.com. P as in Peter, B as in based, results.com. com.
The book is called Questions That Sell. The author is Paul Cherry. He's our friend. Paul, thanks for being here. Good job.
All right.
Today.
Thank you,
Jim. See you next time. Quick break. Right back with Richard DeKayser. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.